Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water. Do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We are all, I guess the boys are in Los Angeles, but I'm in New York, so we're going coast to coast on this one. The NBA has been crazy. The NFL is wild on Sundays. And the college football playoff rankings are out. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, cuz they're free. So 292 coming hot at you guys in the so 291. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Toss from the Octosopolis and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And Nick, before we started recording, we usually obviously talk as boys on the show, catch up, you know, just a little pre-show. And you were a little ticked off about the college football ranking. You and I started to get into it, and it got a little heated. And I said, you know what? Let's save it for the show. And what was the biggest thing that stood out to you in the college football rankings?
Well, first, before we get into it, I just want to say,
yeah,
I really wish, I really hope that John Fisher had a terrible, day the other day, yesterday. Yeah. I just wish that it was an awful day all around.
Yeah, 3-time guest, multi-time caller. My father's birthday was yesterday, and
I hope the milk that I used for his cereal was expired.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he was out of toothpaste.
Yep.
When he went to tweeze in the morning.
Yeah.
I hope that he couldn't sleep at night because he was thinking about the Jets.
Oh yeah, they suck. Well, you know what? He's from the Nikki Kreider School of root against my own team. I hate that. I have my cousin, I have my dad. They're sitting there. I get it, but they're rooting for their team. I don't know. I'll just never understand rooting for my team to lose. But
they want Trevor Lawrence.
I guess. I mean,
another reason why you would bet, right? Why you would root against your own team
is if you bet against them.
If you were betting for them to lose, and the best place for you to
bet is
to go to betonline.ag. So head to betonline.ag today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Nikki Snacks Kreider, your in-person sportsbook expert.
Carney Tally site. Nick is like the top guy. They might hire you, by the way.
Nah, I've been a little cold lately.
Welcome back to Earth a little bit.
I had a really good week 9. Week 10 was average. Week 11 was average. Rough.
Okay, well, listen. You have your sights set on bigger things. Nick's in a massive pool where the payout is ridiculous, and he's one of the final 35 now because the Bucks blew it last night. But as we were saying, my dad's terrible birthday aside, college football playoff rankings are out. Nick is upset, or like disgruntled to say the least. And
I wouldn't say upset. I'm just it's a little. I don't know. I feel like BYU is at 14.
And you think they were shanghaied?
And yeah, you can argue strength of schedule. You know, the resume that they've put together, but I mean, they're 9-0, you know, they've got more wins than any team in college football right now. They didn't have any games really canceled besides the Army game that was postponed that they're probably not going to play. But a team like Iowa State is 6-2, who's ahead of them at 13. OU is 6-2 at 11. Georgia is 5-2 at 9. I mean, those are two lost teams. It sucks because it doesn't seem like BYU is going to have a shot to even sniff the playoff if they do end up winning out. And they only got one more game left on their schedule, but there is flexibility for them to add a game, apparently. So there are teams that they've been talking to, apparently, about actually adding to their schedule. Now, it depends on who that team is going to be, on whether it's a win that's going to be able to catapult them into the playoff. Teams that have been talked about are like Texas A&M. I think they've talked about Cincinnati. But, I mean, what does Texas A&M and Cincinnati have to gain from playing against BYU?
I mean, they're already looking good. That was my point. I mean, I think Cincinnati maybe. Cincinnati could possibly be the team that has something to gain from it just to kind of give that extra oomph. But again, Cincinnati's ranked 7th here. Look, I think it stinks. Like we see it all the time. Like the college football, they don't take these non-Power 5 schools seriously. They really don't. I mean, the Cincinnati thing's an anomaly. Cincinnati could run the table, and I promise you, if Miami has like maybe one more loss against Clemson or something along those lines, if they meet them down the line in the ACC championship game, if OU runs the table, they'll jump them with two losses. You know, I presume A&M could jump them with a loss. You know, or they have
A&M's already had.
Georgia could jump them with a couple more, you know, statement wins. I mean, look, Wisconsin, if they run the table and
Indiana.
Lose
Indiana,
exactly. Indiana's
a great team.
That kid Freifogel, by the way, the receiver, has back-to-back 200-yard games in the Big Ten. Just an FYI.
This is a different Indiana team than what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, that coach is intense. I mean, I just think the BYU thing, it's like, I'm not surprised. Like it sucks. It's unfair. You know, these guys are 9-0. They haven't lost. They probably won't lose unless they put
that
extra
game. And they
have
a Heisman candidate, too.
They have a Heisman candidate, a kid that's going to go in the first round. It's one of the most exciting BYU teams we've had in a while, and they're just not going to get the credit they deserve because the college football playoffs don't roll like that. They don't give a shit. And we see it time in and time out. It happened with UCF. Like, that UCF team was actually good. They ended up beating Auburn. And again, this BYU team can run the table and go play a team like Georgia. They could go play a team like A&M, not even like in that extra expanded game. They could play them in a bowl game, and they can beat them. And we could sit there and go, holy shit, this team was good, and we kind of buffed them.
My thing is, more importantly, is I think that BYU is a better team than Cincinnati. Mm. Now, I think that Cincinnati will probably get in the playoff easier than most teams in the top 10 because they've got two more games left.
Yeah.
They play against Temple next,
yeah,
and then they play against Tulsa, who's ranked 25th. And Tulsa did not look great in their last game, and they're not better than Cincinnati. But after that, you know, you look at who else is in front of them. You got A&M, who already has a big loss against Bama,
big
right?
Loss.
They're not going to they're not going to be able to go into the actual SEC championship game.
No, Bama.
And they've got two more games left as well. I mean, they're going to play against Auburn. They're going to play against LSU. But then you look at Notre Dame and Clemson. If they end up making to the championship for the ACC, one of them is going to have to beat each other, and one of them might get knocked out. So I think that allows Cincinnati to get in there because they're not going to lose. And, you know, Florida still has to play, you know, some tough teams as well.
Yeah.
That gives them an opportunity to jump them.
Well, at the very minimum, Florida has to go meet Alabama in the SEC championship game at the best.
Exactly.
So they can get knocked out there. If Lawrence is in the game, I don't see Notre Dame beating them. Now, Notre Dame does have that win against Clemson, but if Cincinnati's undefeated, I'm going to assume Ohio State goes undefeated here just for argument's sake. They could get in as that 4 seed. Now, if Cincinnati does end up losing, right, if they end up losing one of these games.
Which I don't think they will.
I don't think they will, but it's not out of the question. If they
we've seen stranger things happen.
Totally.
Remember when Pitt took down West Virginia that 1 year?
Classic. We see that stuff happen all the time. Who was the team that took down Clemson a couple years back? Someone took him down.
I don't remember, but it happened with
FSU. Maybe it was FSU that got taken down. We've seen
Kaepernick was with Nevada. They took down Boise State when they hadn't lost a game.
That App State game against Michigan. I mean, first of all, Michigan's a complete joke. Second of all, I this Northwestern team is interesting. They really looked solid.
That's the team that I really want to make the playoff.
You want you know what? I just don't like Fields played his worst game I've ever seen him play in college, and they still put up 40 plus, and they still looked good. And that Indiana,
the Northwestern defense, though, is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to make for an interesting showdown, to say the least. And barring Northwestern, obviously, and Ohio State keep it up in that matter. I'm curious to see what happens if Florida, like, I think that Florida A&M game, I think that Florida loss was not indicative of what that team actually is. I think Florida, as good as I think Alabama is, I think they could give them a real test, which could make things interesting as well. Sure. I mean, I don't think this top four is necessarily a lock, as we've seen in the past, where like the top four like didn't change, like they just kind of fluctuated, it didn't really change.
Right.
I think a Pac-12 team, undefeated Pac-12 team, if USC or Oregon can go for it, that could be interesting. I think the Big 12 is toast. I don't think two losses.
They tear each other apart.
Yeah. Yeah. OU is no joke though. I think they're kind of getting it together.
My biggest disappointment is a team, and I guess two teams that are not present in the top 25, and it's another team from the SEC, South Carolina, not because I had high hopes for them this season, but because their brethren in North Carolina and Coastal Carolina are in the top 25, and they're not there. I wonder if that's the first time that that's ever happened. I bet that it is, just because I've never seen Coastal Carolina in the top 25.
Yeah, their turf, their pretty field, crazy. By the
could
way.
Could be, yeah.
Do you guys think their field is gross?
There's three Carolina teams in the top 25, Clemson and those two.
Yeah, so, and South Carolina.
East Carolina, too, I guess, would be – I don't really have beef with them because they're not supposed to be in the top 25, but South Carolina, what are you doing?
South Carolina should have been there. Their coach fired. He's gone. Muschamp's gone. I mean, it's just a complete disaster, you know, over in South Carolina. But needless to say, I think – the college football season is far from over, and I think we have a lot of shoe left. That was definitely super surprising, but the BYU thing was interesting for sure. We'll see what happens next week and after this weekend. Any big games this weekend? Wisconsin things. I mean, first of all, the Midwest is kind of dicked. But from the COVID thing, Minnesota's a disaster. Notre Dame UNC is the big game this week.
I mean, Texas Iowa State is
for
a big game for
and the Iron Bowl,
the Big 12.
It's a big game. Texas Iowa State's a big game for the Big 12. This is the biggest game. This is it for Herman. Herman has it's at home. He's got to take. If he can't win this game,
my inclination is that it doesn't matter.
That he's toast the other way.
I think so.
You think Herman's the
guy? I think they already have a search party out there for Urban.
Unless if they can't get – I mean, I hope that they're saying, like, if we can't get Urban, then we don't try someone else. Like, at that point, we keep Herman pending he finishes the season strong. And for me, I just don't want to see us waste more time by going and getting another coach who's not going to push us to that next level.
Right. And I don't think you're wasting any time when you get Urban. I mean, you know what you're getting right away. I mean, they're competing year one.
Right.
But what do you think about this? What happens if – I mean, this is a hypothetical scenario. What if Texas decides to hire Urban Meyer and Tom Herman makes the transition to the NFL? I think that his style of coaching translates well to the NFL.
What, undisciplined? Yeah, it'd be great for the Jets.
I think that he's an offensive mind. I think culture-wise, he's more of a kind of – let your players, you know, do their thing type of guy.
I see what you're saying, but I think it's different than the Kingsbury thing. I think Kingsbury is actually like a good X and O's guy or a better X and O's guy, and he just didn't have the talent at Tech. Like, I mean, he had Mahomes, but he didn't have
Mahomes.
Other than that, but Mahomes.
Which, you know what? I was looking the other day just for shits and giggles at like the recruiting class that Mahomes was in for coming out of high school. He was like the 22nd overall ranked quarterback. He was like a 3-star.
Mahomes,
that's ridiculous.
Mahomes is unbelievable. Obviously, one of the best I've ever seen do it. But he wasn't supposed to be this good. And we're not going to sit here and pretend like he was. He threw for 1,000,001 yards at Tech. That offense was explosive. The defense couldn't stop the nosebleed.
But even still, then no one was like, "This is out of the norm for Texas Tech quarterbacks." That was the norm for all Texas Tech quarterbacks.
Yeah,
Graham Harrell did it. I mean, Harrell did. Everyone freaking did. Yeah, we know. I mean, I don't know. I'm with you, Toss, and I'm with both of you. I want Urban. But if we don't get Urban, I don't want a middling coach to just kind of, you know, buoy us until we cut.
I think it's Urban or bust.
Yeah, either Urban or we keep Herman.
You keep Herman if you're not getting Urban.
Yeah.
Agreed. I like the Urban to Texas Herman as an OC somewhere.
No, that's what I mean. Like,
I don't
as an OC.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that happening. I don't see him ready to take on the NFL.
Although there's gonna be a ton of vacancies this year in the NFL. I mean, there's definitely a lot of candidates within the NFL already, but you know, you never know.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what the NFL does as far as like who they go after. If they go down to the college ranks.
A lot of vacancies. Yeah.
I think it's gonna be a lot of coordinators. I mean, obviously there's guys that were talked about last year like Dennis Allen and
Bieniemy,
you know, Bieniemy and Sala from the Niners.
He might go to you, Nick. He might go to the Chargers, Bieniemy. I think he should.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great for Herbert.
It's a great fit. You know what I think could happen? If OU does not win the Big 12, if there's going to be a college coach that goes, it could be Lincoln, potentially.
Maybe. It seems like he's kind of content with just sitting pretty in the captain's seat right now.
Cowboys should have thrown him everything they owned.
Yeah.
Whatever. Speaking of the NFL, let's get into the NFL. Three biggest takeaways this week, guys. I'll kick us off with my three takeaways. Kick it to the Nick, then Toss. My three takeaways in the NFL this week. Saints are the best team in the NFC. That's my takeaway number one. I'm not remotely sold on the whole Taysom Hill thing. I need to see it work for a few more weeks. But if they can kind of get that paying off and carry that into the playoffs and get that bye and then get Breeze back, they're lethal. The bye, the home field advantage, and only one team gets a bye, remember. That defense is dynamite.
Yeah, their defense really stepped it up. I mean, they destroyed Matt Ryan.
He murdered
the entire game.
They were ferocious. Hendrickson. That, like, Ramsey, Kamara, that draft is crazy. That draft they put together is crazy. I think Lattimore's in there too. It's a crazy draft.
So but, you're kind of saying that, like, them in the future with Breeze, like, you're saying, like, right now, as their current roster is, they're the best team in the NFC?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's under center.
Not really. I mean, the Packers, the Packers are – Packers are not who they thought they were. I mean, the Packers, okay, they're great. They're great. Rodgers is amazing. And then they get blown out by the Bucks, who then can't close against the Rams. Brady looked terrible in the second half. Horrible. And they can't beat the Saints. Bucks have lost to the Saints twice. One time, horribly. Week one, we give them, like, whatever. Week two, the second time they met, they got blown out. The Seahawks, they're amazing, the best offense in the league. Russell Wilson starts to have problems. They drop a few games. Rams could be that team that could contend against the Saints. That it could be them. It could be the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that I like the look of the Seahawks with Dunlap and Jamal Adams back on the field now. I think their defense looked better than it had the entire year, this last game against the Cardinals, who obviously we've recognized them now as a surefire offense who can – get it done basically against anyone.
Yeah. It's a good game.
It was a good game, but they held them to what, under 27 points? I mean, this is a great game by the Seahawks defense. I think the Packers, their defense leaves a little bit to be desired.
A lot of it to be desired. That Colts team is not good offensively. I don't think they are. I think they're meh. They're a meh offensive team.
I think they just have a good system and fit with those running backs who you can slot any one of them in.
Backs are
pretty effective. You know,
here's the thing. I think they're an underwhelming offense because it's Philip Rivers and he's old and he's not the old Philip Rivers. He can't really move in the pocket. But like you say, Toss, they've got an interesting backfield with their running backs that they rotate in and out there. They've got a ton of receivers and they've got one of the best offensive lines in football.
Yeah. They do, and multiple not only receivers, but multiple tight ends. They have three good tight ends, Doyle, Burton, and Mo Alie-Cox, all three. Burton, they get involved in creative ways. We've seen him run in, like, three touchdowns.
He's healthy now.
I mean, their least productive receiver is T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah,
who even did a little bit last game. And Pittman, obviously, Josh, you predicted that breakout, and rightly so.
Yeah,
he had a great game last week. So
Pittman's legit.
I don't know. I think their offense is underrated.
My dad and Pittman's dad went to high school together.
Yeah, it's true.
Michael Pittman Senior.
I remember we spoke about that. I don't think they're horrible, but I just think they're meh. And point being, they crushed the Packers defense. They crushed the Packers defense.
Yeah, I just think that the Saints, like, they're the best team right now, but I think the edge is – I think it's close. I think it's close with these other next teams.
I think the Rams are the second best team. I would say my takeaway
– I did too.
I would say my takeaway number two, the Ravens have a serious problem, and not just this year, like a serious long-term problem. They, how many more weapons do you really need around a quarterback to make it happen? That they've invested a lot in the offensive line. He's not what he was. He's not the same thing as he was last year, and it's not looking pretty. Last year, that was a Titans team they would have smacked. They would have beaten that Titans team. But Titans beat them in the playoffs, kind of exposed them, and now all of a sudden, since then, the Ravens are kind of like, okay, not great. They lost the Patriots team, a team they should definitely have beaten. They should have beaten that Titans team. They didn't close. I mean, the defense fell apart a bit, but Lamar has been very underwhelming for me. It was very underwhelming.
I think it was mentioned 2 years ago when he kind of showed the flashes at the end of the year. I was like, I'm not convinced. I distinctly remember saying, like, I'm not convinced because wait for these NFL coaches to game plan. And I was wrong, kind of. It just took them a little while to finally figure out what the game plan actually was. And it took them an MVP season of him running all over everyone. And he doesn't have a bad arm. Like, I distinctly remember a throw from that game against Tennessee where he hit it in a really tight window to Mark Andrews over the shoulder, and it was a very impressive throw. But I don't know if it's not consistent enough, and the play calling does not yield for him to kind of take over with his arm. And he's also, in the way that Kyler likes to get outside of the pocket and then deliver his throws, Lamar does not like to do that. He likes to be in. And he likes to run, obviously, but he doesn't throw well on the run, which is a problem.
It is a problem, and it's a problem that in this – ooh, that's me, guys. Sorry. I was looking up Lamar's stats, and then – I hate – why does ESPN have an effing commercial every time you go to look up a guy's stats? I was checking some numbers, and the numbers say that Lamar Jackson's completion percentage is under 60, and in an era of where check down is king, that's abysmal. Abysmal. It's not good. I just think that they, along with my final point, and I'll let you go, Nick, the Eagles also have a problem, a more pressing problem. And I've said enough about it.
I want to see Hurts play.
That's it. That's all I'll
say. Why not, right?
That's it. That's all I'll say on it.
Why not? On that,
I think at this point, why not? Why not just let it see what happens?
Spend a second draft pick on him.
Yeah.
My gut is that things are not going to go well for him, and he's going to look really bad too, because I think they have a lot more problems than just the guy that's under center for them. But
like, what if, you know?
We'll see. We'll see. That's the thing. It's like, you won't find out until you try.
The thing is, like best case scenario, you start him, right? He wins some games for you. He looks awesome. You trade Carson Wentz. I'm sure someone will pay a second or third round pick for him.
Sure. Just because Carson Wentz was the second overall pick does not mean he has to start every damn game.
Right.
He's been horrible. Maybe they do more.
Fourth year in the league? It's his fourth year. That's enough time.
Exactly. Maybe they have more problems.
I mean, Goff's not amazing, but he's getting wins. I mean, he's been in the Super Bowl.
The Giants suck. They suck. The Giants suck. The Cowboys, without Dak Prescott, are not particularly good. The football team is heading in the right direction, but for the time being, also not good. And they're on their third quarterback, Alex Smith, who we thought would never play football again. Great story, but not a threat at this point. And the Eagles might lose the division with all that going on. If they lose the division...
I think they definitely will lose the division.
Odds are not in their favor. They've been horrible. I
can tell you that... They definitely did. I can tell you that the Eagles are going to ride out Carson Wentz. They're not starting him.
How many?
I mean, I know we're being hypothetical when we're saying we all want to see Hurts step in and play, but they're not going to do it because they feel like Wentz gives them the best shot at winning this division, and it's a division that they like. How embarrassing if they don't win this division?
He's not a winner.
Yeah, no. Clearly he's not. I mean, they've had the opportunity. They've been three wins and one tie for the last 2 weeks. They've lost the last two games. They had the opportunity to really jump out on the rest of these teams in the NFC East, who, like you just mentioned, none of them are good. And now these other teams are neck and neck. The Cowboys win on Thursday. They're leading the division. This is not a Cowboys team that should lead the division. This is a Cowboys team that is one of the biggest disappointments in the NFL. How can that team be beating you? Right. It's embarrassing.
If the football team wins the division, if the football team wins the division and the Eagles, with Carson Wentz, lose it, they have to look in another direction. They have to. They have to. If Jimmy Garoppolo becomes available, they have to look at him. They have to look at the whole Darnold situation. I mean, that Carson Wentz is just not the same since injury, unfortunately. It's kind of a matter.
We looked at it, though, in the Giants. The Giants' schedule is way easier. Yeah. The Giants – the Eagles are not going to win the division because their schedule is really difficult, and there's no way they close out these tough games against tough opponents.
Hurts wins. Bring him in.
No way.
Nick.
Takeaway number one, and this is a pretty obvious one.
Go, man.
Justin Herbert has solidified his spot as the offensive rookie of the year with the loss of Joe Burrow, obviously. Yeah. Terrible injury. Worse than everyone expected. I mean, he tore his MCL, his ACL, damage to the PCL, and I think he damaged his meniscus as well. I mean, it's the worst possible outcome you could have there.
I saw it. I saw it live. Yeah, he's going to be out next season. I saw it live. Yeah, and it looked like his knee was destroyed. I was not surprised. That was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, he might not play again until 2022, which is very unfortunate because it's number one pick overall. And, you know, he was America's sweetheart last year, winning the Heisman, having with, you know, maybe the greatest season of all time by a college quarterback. But Herbert's
been balling out. And for all intents and purposes, trending this Bengals franchise in the right direction.
With Higgins. He looked really good. Higgins, Boyd, they look good.
Yeah, massive step back for them. But that being said, Herbert's been playing amazing football. He's been playing like a pro. I mean, he looks like a vet out there. And I'm not even just saying that as a Chargers fan. I think most people can agree with me that, I mean, he's already setting the league on fire with the records that he's breaking as a rookie.
And Nick, you're not a Chargers fan.
I think he's thrown through six games with three or more touchdowns, which is like a rookie record. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's set records for yards, for touchdowns, all sorts of things. And he's not turning the ball over either.
No.
The only thing that they're really lacking is the win category, and it's not really his fault.
No.
It's a defense that falls apart.
Yeah. And the only thing I'll say to correct you is you're not a Chargers fan. You're now a Raiders fan. So this is definitely unbiased by you. And I will – let me ask you this, Nick. And tell us. I said watching football the other day that not only is he unbelievable and I'm blown away, and I also said that Nick was wrong for throwing a hissy fit on draft night. Maybe he was hangry. The food wasn't there.
What was that hissy fit? I bought a Herbert jersey the next day.
You did commit. You may have been hangry. It was a mix of both. Here's the deal. Is he the best rookie quarterback you've ever seen? Because I think he's the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen.
Best rookie quarterback we've ever seen?
In my lifetime. I really think so.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at all like the rookies, like notable rookie seasons, and no one really jumps out to me like him.
None. Not in my lifetime. Like, not even like Luck.
I mean, Baker had a pretty good rookie season, but like he also threw a lot of picks.
What was Russ's rookie season like? It was pretty good from what I remembered.
I'm looking at Cam's right now. I mean, Cam's was cool because he ran well, but he didn't throw the ball. He threw the ball solid. He threw the ball better than Luck did. Bradford, low key, had a good rookie year, by the way.
RG3 had a good year.
Baker Mayfield, I think, had like the best statistical rookie season.
But he didn't play a full year, did he?
Yeah.
He came on like week three.
It's like the exact same thing that happened with Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor got hurt, and then he
– So if you – oh, that's sad. You draft a rookie quarterback, you get Tyrod Taylor on your team too, and eventually the rookie comes in.
Well, your RG3 was exceptional.
What the Jets need to do is they need to trade for Tyrod Taylor next year and start him week one and get a medical examiner to puncture his lung. Trevor Lawrence is going to be sick.
He's the whisper. But yeah, I agree, Nick. What's your takeaway number two, buddy?
Takeaway number two is the Detroit Lions need to fire Matt Patricia ASAP. Yeah,
that was a bad loss.
They got blanked by the Carolina Panthers with the XFL quarterback. I mean, he was the XFL MVP, but, I mean, B.J. Walker is no Teddy Bridgewater.
He was the XFL MVP. Let's leave it at that.
Exactly. He was also a four-year quarterback at Temple, where he got coached, obviously, by Matt Rhule. So that's where the connection started, and good for that. Right. But
yeah, I mean, that's a cool little connection there, but come on. Detroit got blanked by them.
Pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, that's just coaching right there. I mean, it's just a coaching win. Like, you line up the two coaches against each other, the staffs against each other, and the Panthers have a better run team right now.
And they've had some really bad losses this year, too. I mean, loser losses. They've got some surprising wins, but some really horrendous losses.
Yep.
Yeah.
Loser moves.
I think that I was surprised. I heard a couple of people talking the other day, and they were saying that, like, they were lining up the teams that play just like really, really good, crisp football, and like weirdly, even though the Panthers obviously have a losing record, they definitely fit that category. They definitely fit the bill there. Like,
I like them. I think they're
like, you can't say a team like the Bucks, as good as they are, like they do not play crisp football. They are marked with so many penalties every single game. Arians is all over the place with the way that he's dialing up play calling. I think, you know, that's part of the reason why Brady looks so bad. And again, what are you supposed to do against a really good defense like the Rams? But yeah, I just, the Panthers have really impressed me this year.
They're better than I thought they were. They spent the whole draft on defense and it shows. They're like competitive. Like they're in games. They're a team, like, once Bridgewater's healthy, McCaffrey's been out the whole year. If they could add a piece in the offensive line, I think they're in good shape. I think it's a good takeaway, yeah. Nick. I think Patricia's got to go. Sucks, but sorry.
Number three.
Nick, number three for you, man.
Number three, I'm going to kind of stick with my guns. This is kind of a two takeaway, what I said last week. The Raiders are making the playoffs.
Okay.
I think, you know, this is the biggest threat to Kansas City. You know, they already beat them once this season. They played a really tight, close game on Sunday night that Kansas City had to go and win on the game-winning drive with that miraculous drive that Mahomes put together, finding Kelce in the end zone. But I think that, you know, I think Kansas City's not going to lose the game for the rest of the season, like Toss said last week. And then I also think that the Raiders are going to be a wild card team.
Do you say I said that too.
That wasn't me. That must have been Josh.
I think that was me. I think
I would love to take credit for that. I would love to take credit for that, though.
Someone said Kansas City is not losing the game the rest of the season.
I think it was me, maybe, but that's a good way to remember. At least to keep your eyes peeled and ears close.
I think it was Toss. I really do.
I mean, it might have been me too. I mean, either way, if I see Kansas City lined up against any other team in the NFL, I'm going to pick them to win.
We were even texting, and you said they're not going to lose again.
Probably. I also predicted that the Steelers go undefeated. So
I think that was him. I think that was
Steelers
not me.
They do look great, but they've got a tough schedule ahead of them. They're a tough team. They still play against Baltimore again.
Yeah.
So you want to go into one of my takeaways that's related to the Steelers, and I texted you guys about this, but we talked about it. But I think that even as many assets as the Dolphins got in that trade, the Steelers grabbing Minka Fitzpatrick, who to me is easily the best safety in the league.
That's what I was saying.
It's no question. The guy's ball awareness, like there was the play where whoever there, I can't even remember what that quarterback, gluten free was.
Gluten free,
got a tipped ball and Minka was, he started the immediate moment where that ball got tipped, he had already like started sprinting. And a lot of times when you're going one direction, Nick, you can talk about this, like switching and turning directions and then sprinting in that opposite direction while you've already been sprinting in one direction is incredibly difficult. And he did it. I've never seen someone do it faster on this read. Caught that interception and took it back like 20, 25 yards. But I just think that he's the best safety in the league. And I think that that trade for them is instrumental in what we're seeing. Obviously, with the Big Ben healthy, it makes a total difference because they don't have Mason Rudolph there. But I'm going to stick with the undefeated season. I don't think they're going to have a loss on the record this year.
Yeah, and I think the Fitzpatrick trade is hogwash. It was a boatload of BS for the Dolphins. I think it was dumb as dirt. I think they
acquired a lot of assets.
You got a first round pick, which they spent on, like they spent it on Austin Jackson, but you could have gotten him at the 30th or the later pick where you took Noah Igbinoghen, whatever. And you
look, their defense is good, but any defense is better with Minka Fitzpatrick, as we're seeing with the Steelers right now.
Top five defensive player in the league.
Yeah. So that's my number one. I think we can put it to rest now, and like we don't need to ever bring it back up again.
Yeah.
But Ezekiel Elliott is not the best running back in the NFL.
No, he's
probably not the second best either. He's probably number three or lower. If you wanted to, I would continue that argument and we could talk about it because I'd be open to hearing it. Derrick Henry, I think
my top three are Dalvin Cook one, Derrick Henry two, Kamara three.
Without McCaffrey being just not including him right now because he's hurt.
I mean, he's hurt, so I can't really.
Discluding McCaffrey
hurt too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree, Nick. Right, I think all three of those guys are better than Ezekiel Elliott, and now the Cowboys are kind of like in this conundrum.
Nick Chubb might even be better.
Nick Chubb's sick.
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is like also a top nine running back.
Yeah, that was dope
in the league.
They are both amazing.
What Stefanski has done there is really, really impressive.
They brought him in for the whole. He did the whole thing with Dalvin Cook last year. I think number one best running back in the league is Henry, followed by Cook, followed by Kamara. I think Zeke still got it. I think the offensive line's hurt. The issue with Zeke is he kind of fumbles a boatload, and that's a problem.
Yeah,
that's
he had like three fumbles in one game.
You can't turn the ball over. They're gonna
gotta hold on to the ball.
And Pollard doesn't look bad. I think to get rid of the money and to put money elsewhere, they're gonna have to cut him and cut their. They're gonna have to cut him.
They're not going to. But I
don't either. It's a branding thing. It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But Pollard busted out of 40. He was like six rushes for like 65 yards last game. I mean, like, that guy's an effective runner.
I don't understand. Like, go pay Kenyon Drake half the amount you could pay Zeke and bring him in. Whatever. But that's a great point. I'll put it to rest.
And then my third one.
Toss.
I'm a little bit sour that I predicted the Chiefs to like. I thought they were really going to put it to the Raiders in this last game, and they didn't. Obviously, it was a close game, but I think that Nick, you said, how did you describe the last drive?
A miraculous.
Yeah, it wasn't miraculous. Drive or it wasn't miraculous. It was mundane. It was every day. It was what this guy does. It's what he eats for breakfast. I mean,
well,
like,
you
I,
know what?
You knew it was going to happen. Right,
but that was only his fifth game-winning drive in his career.
Because how many does he need to have, though?
Exactly. Because they flashed the stat. Derek Carr has, like, 22 in his career, and Mahomes has 4 in his career. People are like, wait, how is that possible? Because Derek Carr is always playing from behind.
Because he's winning. He's not losing. Yeah, how many games has he lost? How many games has he been trailing in the fourth quarter, period, and lost? It's like, it was little long, yeah.
But is there any chance that this team loses the Super Bowl? Is there any chance?
No, dude, they're winning it all. They're so sick.
They're so sick.
They're so good.
I don't know.
You can't even hate it because he's such a likable player, too.
I don't think
he is. And they also have the top five receiver on their team. And he's not even the receiver. Travis Kelce is so good.
Can he win?
He is so good.
Can he be a top five
MVP
candidate?
He's second in yards behind DeAndre Hopkins.
I think he's third.
He's third.
Whoever, he's
first.
He's like 40-something yards away.
He's
from
like first
Hopkins.
In every.
Hell of a year by Waller. That was the battle of this year's tight ends.
Yeah,
Waller versus Kelce.
Waller's
been unbelievable this year.
He's been sick.
Maybe Nick, one of your favorites.
They flashed the graphic side by side and. Kelce's one in every category. Waller's two in every category.
Yeah,
receptions, yards, touchdowns.
I saw that graphic as well. Can Kelce be a top five MVP candidate, or is that crazy? Can he win Offensive Player of the Year, or is that crazy?
I think he probably doesn't have enough touchdowns. He's up there in touchdowns, but I don't know if he has enough. I mean, look, like,
Tyreek
what? You're not
going
to give to him? Tyreek Hill has more than 10 touchdowns. That's a good one to throw out. Yeah.
Adams. I mean, Tyreek Hill. I've always said.
Yeah, I mean, I also texted you guys and I said that DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams are better than Michael Thomas, and I think I firmly believe that. We'll see how the rest of the season shakes out. But
he's been hurt and he came back with Taysom Hill at quarterback. He still had 100.
Yeah, Devontae Adams was hurt this year. You think he came back and was slow? No, sir. He scored like 3 touchdowns in the first game.
Yeah, Devontae Adams has 10 touchdowns this year, and he's missed like 4 games, right?
Missed 3. I have him in fantasy. I'm not complaining. But I think the thing with Michael Thomas, I think he was great. He had that one bad drop, that is true. But other than that, he had a 9-catch, 100-plus yard game with Taysom Hill at quarterback.
Sure, sure.
I pointed to,
I don't like the locker room antics this year, and they've turned me off a little bit. And DeAndre Hopkins is, as amazing as he is, he's also lunch pail. Josh, you and I met him. He loves barbecue. He goes
nice
to work
guy.
Every single day. He catches Hail Marys. Like, that's... He's just got unreal hands. Nick's always said it. Nick's always been his guy in his corner with him.
Look, if Nick has a jersey, then he's a fan.
Yeah,
and I've got one.
You do have a shirt jersey. A shirt.
It's true.
A jersey. True. I will say to close out that
I've got a pretty dope.
No, you got a jersey, don't you? Or
no,
is that
a
shirt jersey?
I've got a pretty dope roster of jerseys right now going.
Yeah, that's nice. You do have a good one. I have Michael Thomas and Odell. But yeah, I think Mike Evans, by the way, also is in there. He's a grown man. He's a beast.
Oh, by the way, Antonio Brown is back.
We never left.
Very much so.
He's an asshole.
He's back.
He's an asshole, but he never left. Antonio Brown's an asshole. Michael Thomas is like, Michael Thomas was giving me serious Dwight Howard, like remnants of like really great player, but like totally weird vibes.
Like, so who's going to win? Who's going to win Coach of the Year this year?
Frank Reich.
If Tomlin goes undefeated, do you have to give it to him?
Yeah, yeah. Tomlin's going to win it. Tomlin's going to win it.
But can we add on the fact that, like, he had to deal with Antonio Brown for the entirety of his career? Like, the fact that it took this long for all these things to arise with him, and I know,
and
like,
Le'Veon.
It's been a while since he yes, and Le'Veon.
And Big Ben, like, raped somebody.
If
Jesus, like,
if they go undefeated, Tomlin wins it. If they don't go undefeated and the Dolphins make the playoffs, then Flores wins.
That was a bad loss. That was a bad loss. That was a bad loss.
And he benched Tua too.
And Tua looked like shit.
Was it a benching? That was the benching?
Yeah, he got benched. Yeah. It looked like shit. He talked a big game to the media, said, I thought it was going to be a lot harder, played like dog shit, got benched. Serves him right. Welcome to the league, baby. No joke.
Should have kept him in.
Yeah.
Should have kept him in.
Well, Fitzmagic. Hey, Fitzmagic leads him down the field and throws a pick in the end zone.
Intersection. In
classic.
The end zone. Vintage Fitzmagic.
I wanted to touch on this when you guys were talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Please.
Who's your favorite for Defensive Player of the Year?
Donald.
Is it him? Donald still?
Donald's the best defensive player I've ever seen.
Yeah, but are the numbers there to give him the award this year?
Speaking of graphics they flashed his number of double teams and triple teams, and he's still like top fives in sacks. It's insane. Jesus. It's insane. He's like triple teamed sometimes. Like more than a couple times he's been triple teamed. And he's the best. I mean, Myles Garrett, if he was playing full season, not missing weeks, maybe he'd have a shot. Fitzpatrick obviously is in the mix. I think he's great. Xavien Howard never gets any love, but he's an unbelievable cornerback for the
Buda
Dolphins.
Baker.
I've always been a big Buda Baker guy. He's great. I mean, you know, and the Cam Jordan, he's up there. You know, TJ Watt. I mean, the whole Steelers team, to it. The whole Steelers defense is just eating, to it.
Yeah,
Dupree. Yeah, they're all eating. Dupree's going to get paid. They're all eating. Yeah, it's a great question, Nick. It's something I'm going to have to look into a bit more. Real quick, I'll give mine so fast. But we got to touch on NBA stuff real quick because it was crazy. Three winners, three losers. Super fast. Big winner for me. Biggest winner, I think. Lakers, obviously. Trez Harrell signing, huge. Getting him away from the Clippers. The Gasol signing was massive. The Schroeder trade was huge. They really got better. They got better, which is crazy, I think.
Yeah. I was talking to my brother about this, and I would love to hear you guys, your opinion. Also, Defensive Player of the Year odds have TJ Watt at number one,
by the way,
throw that out there. Yeah. Do y'all think that this Lakers team now – we know that Anthony Davis is going to sign with LA. He's just waiting until afterwards to get the deal he wants. Is this Lakers team the best team that LeBron's ever played with, better than any of the Miami Heat teams?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Because I think that they are.
They could be.
I think through and through, top to bottom roster, I think they are. I think that two of six man award, we got the one who won it, and we got the other guy who was second. They were also both top two in bench scoring. They added up. Are more valuable than one Chris Bosh, I think, in my opinion.
But the Heat had other guys. I mean, maybe. It's possible.
The Heat had other guys, but were there other guys better than Alex Caruso? Were they better than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
No.
Were they better than
this team is deep as hell. Wes Matthews, their team is so deep.
Is Mark Gasol, their backup center, better than Joel Anthony?
Yes,
he is. He's considerably better.
No,
like I
crazy.
Think the depth across the board is way better than his Heat team.
It's the best Laker
which
team.
Which is crazy to say.
This is the best Laker team. It could be the best Laker team of our lifetime, which would be insane.
Yeah.
But listen, the Lakers, as good as they are, on paper, it's fantastic. I think Trez Harrell is going to go properly because there's nothing should really change in his game. We could see Gasol tail off, and we've seen Schroeder be great. We've seen him not be great. So I think either way, something could potentially happen there. But I think I'm very impressed by them. To correct you, unfortunately, he's waiting for Giannis. If Giannis, he's waiting to see what kind of deal Giannis signs. If Giannis signs a super max in Milwaukee and is committing to there, he's going to go get his money. But if he sees Giannis take a different type of deal or not take a deal at all, he's going to sign a lesser deal so they have the money to pay for Giannis. That's the Anthony Davis thing.
No, that's, I think he's waiting to see what he's waiting to see. Well, they can't give him a supermax. They don't have enough money. But I think what he's mulling over is the length of the contract, because he might want to take the same amount of years as LeBron. And if he takes the same amount of years, so 2 years of the player option, if he takes 2 years of the player option, then he can decide what he wants to do after LeBron potentially retires, or if LeBron goes somewhere else, he can go with him.
I think there's a lot of things on the table. That's also a good one as well. I read the Giannis thing, so I believe everything I read.
Giannis, yeah, it's interesting.
So we're each picking one team, or we're each picking three teams?
I'm going to go real quick, three teams.
Nine teams.
Super quick. I'm going to be done in a second. Blazers, I think this is the best Blazers team with Dame.
Taking all my teams, man.
Sorry, Nick. The Roko move was going to be huge. Just wait for it. And I think having Nurkic back in a full season. Cantor moves nice to bring him back. And Harry Giles, maybe this, you know, him and Collins could kind of get things going. And obviously Hood, and I love Melo. The Hawks, I think the Kings just rejected, and Bogdanovich is going to be a Hawk. So Gallinari, Rondo, Chris Dunn to supplement Trae Young's defensive woes, and kind of Rondo's as he's getting up there in age, although he was good defensively last year. Hunter can kind of come off the bench. Hoyer can be that bench scorer because he's not a legit starter. And then I think the Hawks. So I think I'm happy with the Hawks. And for my three losers, people are saying Clippers. No, I'm not. They lost JaMychal Green, unfortunately, but they got Ibaka. So that's good enough. And they traded for Kennard. Decent enough for me. Raptors, they lost Gasol. They lost Ibaka. They didn't replace him with JaMychal Green. Harry Giles was there. Plumlee was there. He went to the Pistons. Pistons are another loser of mine. They signed like 8 big men like we're playing in the 1980s. I have no idea what they're doing there. I have no idea what they're doing in Charlotte. You don't rebuild by throwing out random deals to Jeremiah Grant, 3 years, $60 million, when you already have Blake Griffin. And now you've waited so long to trade Blake Griffin. Like the Wizards, oh, we want to trade John Wall. Who's taking his $40 million? Who's taking Blake's contract? Well, now you've waited and everyone's signed people. Hornets with the Hayward thing, it's like, I don't get it. I'll never understand. The Biombo, they just suck. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think the unfortunate thing for them right now is that they have to pay. They're paying Gordon, but they're also paying – they're paying Batum still. And Batum's contract – they still are responsible for paying his contract. Yes.
And they, yes. Losers. Suckers and losers.
So they have to pay that out. Yeah, I agree. I disagree with I think the Hawks are wasting money in my mind. They're not. This is not a roster that's going to win them a championship. This is not a top three in the East roster. And you don't spend that on long-term contracts that are 3 or 4 years, which all of those were with Bogdanovich, with Gallinari.
Rondo's is two.
Rondo's two, but they overpaid for Rondo.
They didn't pay him that much. Like 15 mil.
It was 2 for 16. He's not worth that.
He was instrumental in that Lakers win.
I agree, but like, look what they got Marc Gasol for. Look what the Lakers pull Marc Gasol in for.
You think these guys that are old?
Yes, and he's not. He don't need to be spending that much on a guy like that, in my opinion. But if you want to get him, sure, great. You need defensive presence behind Trae Young. I just think. Now you're locked into these like pretty high contracts for these like middle of the pack. None of those players will be all-stars next year. I love Gallinari. I love what he brings to the table. He's a great offensive threat. He's a 20-plus scorer. He can be. He might end up being 17 because there's a lot of mouths to feed there. But I just don't think that they have anything sexier to get them past Boston, to get them past the 76ers now, who have – put together a really well-oiled roster, which no surprise, Daryl Morey's there. And also, of course, you know, you've got the Heat, who just, they bring Bam Adebayo back. They signed him a massive contract. You've got the Bucks, and you've got the Nets. Let's see what they do. I think the Raptors will take a step down, but
yeah,
that there's the Hawks will not be better than any of those teams.
No, they won't. If they make the playoffs, I'll disagree with you. If they don't, then you will see your point.
I'm not saying that they're not going to make the playoffs. I think they will, but they won't be a top. What I said is they're not going to be a top team in the East. And at that point, it's like, what are you? You're wasting your time. You're wasting time and money. Unless they're going to package those guys in a deal for a bigger piece. Okay, if that's the purpose behind it, because you have to have that cap space to match, and that's a lot of the times that's why people make those deals like Jeremy Grant paying him $20 million, because you have to have that space and that cap. And if you don't, then you can't match those salaries. Then it's a waste. If they want to play these guys out, they want to play Bogdanovich. I'm glad the Kings did match the offer. Good for them.
Well, the Kings are, I think, at that point, are a different space. They're not. They play in the West. They're not making the playoffs. There's no chance. They're going to be picking in the top five next year, and they know that. The Hawks, they add Okongwu. They have Capella back and healthy. Adding Gallinari and Rondo, they might as well go get Bogdanovich at that point, who's a very good player. And 18 mil is not a boatload of money. It's not a crazy sum of money. He's getting paid less than Grant, and he's a better player. And I know that Grant thing is for future salary matches, but it's still a ridiculous amount of money to commit, an unnecessary amount of money to commit. Just because you have the money doesn't mean you need to spend it. We've seen that Knicks do that.
I mean, I do think that Jeremy Grant is a good player. I don't think that's the value of him, but I think a lot of teams needed him, and that's what you're going to have to pay if you want to get him. And clearly the Pistons wanted him for some reason.
I guess.
But, no, it's going to be interesting. I'm just – I don't know. Not necessarily a big fan of the Hawks. I mean, you had to do something, and that's what they did. So we'll see how it plays out for them.
Nick, I stole some of your teams, but who are some of the teams I didn't steal from you, man? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to thief you like that.
I don't think we need to all do top three, but
okay.
I think
– You get something.
I think the Suns are a team that did well. I mean, adding Chris Paul obviously is a huge addition. I know that happened a while back, but – and that definitely helps the young guys on that roster that, you know, is going to make a push. I think we'll make the playoffs this year, probably like a 6th or 7th seed, maybe even a 5th.
Yeah.
I'm in on the Blazers. I'm in on the Lakers.
Nice.
And obviously, I mean, I'm in on what the OKC is doing. I mean, they've stockpiled like 17 draft picks. And, you know, some of those picks are bound to work out, I think. Just got to trust the process, I guess.
Yeah. We got a hit.
I think.
Well, and it's also just you can package those picks and turn them into a player if you wanted to. And the thing with Presti is he's just like, if you guys want to send me a player who's overpaid, like these guys like Al Horford who signed that big contract, and people are scared to touch that contract because he didn't perform that great last year. Although when you look at how he performed when he was by himself on the court, he was actually pretty good. I think he'd be a contributor on the roster. But those are the people that competing teams want to go get. They're willing to pay for when it comes time to end the season, when teams need an extra guy, they're going to go pay for Al Horford, and Presti's going to end up with even more picks.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen again.
Low risk, high reward situation.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
And these teams are like, we're competing now, so like we can give away our first round draft picks. And Sam Presti's like, yes, you can. Yes, you can, and I will take them. See, it's actually crazy how many he has. It's absurd. He's literally playing 2K. Playing 2K.
He's just got to turn him into – he's got a hit on some of them, though. I think they're going to be. Yeah. I think they're going to take a step back, but rightfully so, as planned.
Right.
Nick, who else? Right. Do you like anybody you hate? Nick, anybody like? What are these guys doing? Why are they playing? I should be running their franchise.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think I guess the Hornets because of the Hayward thing. I mean, that's definitely. I think it's more like a head scratcher for him more than anything. But I mean, go try to chase a ring somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, no one really stood out that bad to me, honestly.
Okay. I had a tough time. I just threw the
– I was more into, like, individual decisions that were made. I think there weren't any teams really that I look at and I'm like, you didn't like. Even my evaluation of the Hawks, like, I like Gallinari. Like, I think he fits for that team. I think he will play well with Trae Young. Like, it's a good fit there. Yeah. We'll see. It looks like guys like the rich got richer and some of the other teams didn't really even make moves. Like you look at those guys that are kind of those 8, 9, 10 on a roster on all of the best teams. It felt like if they weren't on the Bucks last year, now they're on the Bucks this year. If they were on the Bucks, now they're on the Lakers. Like those guys all just kind of rotated with each other.
Yeah, the Quinn Cook effect.
Right, right. So well, I would have liked to have seen more of the kind of competing teams get some of those guys.
Yeah.
But if you're one of those guys, like, do you want to sign with a team who's, like, middle of the pack? No, you want to sign with a contender.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. Like, Torrey Craig went to the Bucks. He's like, fuck this fucking party.
Mo Harkless went to the Bucks. I'm sorry, Mo Harkless. I am for real.
How could you be Mo Harkless?
Well, look, you don't think he's important, but last year the Blazers were like, he's important. He's really, really important because he was their only small forward.
Yeah, he's decent. He'll be helpful. I'm happy with the Celtics. I'm very happy. Good. You know who I really loved? The Jazz. What a win for them. How often do we see a franchise, an unsexy franchise, an unattractive place to play, no offense, Utah, and the superstar up and leaves and is like, I want out, and they have to trade him and they have to restart. Donovan Mitchell staying. He's committed to Utah. I'm into it.
you're just a huge Donovan Mitchell fan.
Love them. Fair players.
Yeah. I do think that the Celtics, the fact they haven't gotten anything, the fact they didn't get anything with Hayward is kind of a miss there.
Sure, but I'm happy with, like, what are we going to get from the Hornets? I don't want anything from the Hornets. Like, they don't have anything that I needed. We got Tristan Thompson, who I'm stoked about. We bring in Jeff Teague, who's a good backup point guard, who's an upgrade,
I think if you can get something, you always take it, trade it away for other assets. It was a missed opportunity. I think it was a missed opportunity.
Sure, but I'm happy with the Thompson thing, and I'm happy with the Teague thing. I would love to get a wing, but we'll see what Naismith does.
Yeah, they've got it. I think y'all's roster, and now it's just up to your players to get better.
Yeah. Nick, who do you have in your survivor pool this week?
We are taking the Packers and the Giants.
And how are you feeling? I meant to ask you, how are you feeling at the end of that? Were you worried at the end of the Chiefs-Raiders game?
Of course, yeah. I mean, we sweated the last 3 weeks. We had the Pats against the Jets. That was a buzzer beater field goal by big Dick Nick Folk. And then we also had a buzzer beater, the Lions, with Matt Prater kicking like a 59-yarder to win it. And so this week we had Mahomes do his magic. So
yeah,
we've been sweating, but we're looking to get some easy wins this week. I think the
Packers teams play? Packers against the Bears, right?
Yeah, I believe it's Packers Bears, and it is the Giants versus the Burrowless Bengals.
Yeah, Ryan Finley
sucks. I like that one for you.
Ryan Finley sucks. I'm into it for you, Nick. You guys know Nick. You know I'm pulling for you always to get it done.
Of course. Sorry, boys.
Yeah. Nick. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of – basketball's going to be interesting. I can't believe it's starting up in a couple weeks. I don't get that. What a loser. They should have given those guys time, but I guess they're going for the Christmas money. Oh, well.
College basketball starts today.
Today. College basketball starts today. And get excited for Thursday, Gonzaga versus Kansas. This game's going to be sick. Jalen Suggs playing.
Don't eat too much turkey because you'll fall asleep during the game.
Yeah, totally.
Turkey, highly, highly overrated. We agree with that. Highly overrated.
Depends what it is, but
Thanksgiving
sure.
food.
You know what? You know,
I love turkey.
You love turkey?
I like it too. I like green bean casserole, and I'll leave everyone with this note. I know a guy, and everyone knows a guy, who makes a good green bean casserole, and his name's Nick. I'm not kidding. This is serious, Toss. I swear to you.
It's Nick's special.
Nick, Nick, admit it. You do it well. You do a good job.
I do a good job. Yeah.
Nick, I was surprised. Nick came in. He's like, I'm bringing a casserole. Went to a party at my sister's. I was like, all right, whatever. He shows up with the casserole. He cracked it open, and it was delicious.
Nick, did you make the casserole?
I made it.
No, yeah, he made it. He for sure made it. He for sure was impressive.
Well, I mean, I would have given him credit. Either way, I would have given him credit. If he had had someone else.
Oh, you think Nick, he tried to
make
fast
the casserole, and then he had been like, yeah, I made a casserole and given it to you, I would have been also props there.
That would have been pissed.
But the fact that you, on your market, said
baked. I take part of my own work. I'm not that type of person.
Yeah, I don't think he did. He wouldn't have. I would have been. Nick's not went to Shanghai like that.
I think it's just, it's savvy. It's savvy like Captain Jack Sparrow, if you do that.
It is Sparrow.
Savvy.
All right, yeah, cool, guys. Basketball's exciting, football, all that good stuff.
Happy good Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, yeah. Fans out there, drag both feet and bounce. Swing the full count, rip that puck, get that putt. Did your PKs because they're free and you read those. Why, guys? Because they're free.
Because they're free.
We out, Joe. We love you.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe it?
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.